still my favorite part in that episode is Andy walking off the stage with the microphone and the keyboard just goes. Damn it! Damn it! This is gonna be a good one.
All right, welcome to Scotch and Splenda, the podcast that tastes like The Office but gets you drunk like putting your hand on a coworker's knee, then jumping a fence and moving to Costa Rica. Here on Scotch and Splenda, we're talking about anything and everything The Office, but most importantly, theories, side stories, and what ifs. We are your co-regional managers. As always, I am AJ.
I'm BJ.
And I am Nick.
And on this episode, we're talking everything Toby Flenderson.
Ugh.
Is that the general consensus? Is that the general consensus?
Ah, yeah, it's just not
everything
me.
Toby, man. Everything Toby.
We need to do an episode where we talk about something we like.
That's a good point. We are not there yet. Yeah. Huh?
Unpopular opinion. I really enjoyed Toby Flenderson.
You know what? I'm on the fence, all right? No pun intended. But I'm kind of on the fence with this one. So, but yeah, everything Toby. Everything Toby Flenderson this week. But guys, first, we want to make sure to give a very quick reminder that while you're listening, while you're here, that if you're going to be listening, make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Drop us your fan theory while you're at it so we can read it on the show.
We want to hear your theories.
Absolutely.
We want to know what you think.
Yeah, we need to know your theories. This is the fuel. This is the cannon fodder for the
show.
Or
if you want to just type in there like what your favorite whiskey is, we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll try to find a bottle we'll drink to you.
Yeah. Drop us a line, guys. Make sure you do it in your review. If you would rather shoot us an email, you can do that at scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com. Throw us your fan theory. We will read it here on the air like we're about to do right now.
Today's fan theory comes from Parker Anderson. So thank you, Parker, for submitting a theory to us. And he has a fantastic one for us to talk about today, gents.
Okay.
On the Golden Ticket episode, Michael actually does place the tickets in different shipments, but Daryl and the warehouse crew sabotage Michael in an attempt to get him fired in retaliation for his frequent mistreatment of the warehouse.
Holy smokes. This bad boy can run deep.
That is that's a very specific fan theory to a very specific episode, but
I love
the buildup to that. That covers a lot of episodes. So let's talk, boys. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, about when was this? In the series, was this season?
That was season
six?
Episode 19, Golden Ticket.
Okay,
so give us a real brief rundown, just as a refresher for people.
Okay, so the Golden Ticket episode, Michael dresses up as Willy Wonka and comes up with an idea to do five golden tickets in five different boxes of paper, and then those businesses that receive that paper will get 10% off their next order.
Wow.
Right?
Okay. Their orders for a year.
For a year. And there is no limit, one per customer on the order. And that is kind of just a very brief synopsis of what happens. And then as the episode progresses, you find out one individual company, the largest customer of Dunder,
Blue Cross.
Gets all five golden tickets, which obviously applies to a 50% off their orders for a year.
Which,
David Wallace is not
pissed. Okay.
I love Michael going to Oscar and being like, hey, how much is 10% off our Blue Cross account? And he goes, 10% Blue Cross is our biggest account. It's going to be a serious hit. And then you have Jim in the background. You found five golden tickets. And does it say one per customer? Jim's just shaking his head.
Nope, it doesn't.
Nope, it doesn't.
Oh, man. Yeah. So the idea is that maybe he did, in fact, put this in several different shipments, but Daryl, being the diligent warehouse manager that he is, saw this and decided to send those to
on purpose
Blue Cross,
hoping to get Michael fired. That's the theory.
That's right.
Because he goes down and confronts the warehouse. He starts with one of my favorite interactions in the entire series, which is going down to the warehouse and going, hey, idiot. Daryl goes, start over. Ask them about it.
Excuse me, sir.
Hold on. Well, let's back it up even further.
Right.
All right.
Hit me.
One of the best cold opens
Okay.
In the series, in my opinion. It is the knock knock.
Who's there?
KGB.
KGB who?
KGB who?
Aviva last questions.
Okay.
That's the cold open for the Golden Ticket episode. Yep. I love it.
It is
and
great...
of course, Jim jumps in with the ding dong.
Ding dong. Ding dong. Yes, absolutely.
We've been waiting for no one.
Yeah.
So KGB no wait for no one.
He's
wonderful.
Right. Anyway, it's sorry. True. Fast forward where we're
fast forward. So, thinking about this, like, is Daryl, the idea is, okay, Daryl's vindictive to the point of like, he's now getting back at Michael for all the transgressions against the warehouse.
But why wouldn't he be?
But this dates back to one of a very much discussed episode, basketball, when he's trying to get them to work on the weekend.
Yep.
Putting like serious stress on them, interrupting their workflow.
Yep.
There's major times where the girls and guys where
boys
the
and girls.
Boys
yep.
and
yep.
girls episode.
Yep.
That he's again interrupting them, trying to solve it with pizza. I mean, there's a lot of times.
And ends up destroying the warehouse.
Destroying the warehouse.
Let's talk about...
We'll get someone to clean that up.
Yeah.
We're the ones got to clean that up.
Thank you. And those are the types of things that have constantly been happening. Yeah. He's always throwing parties in the warehouse, like when they have to do inventory.
Yep.
Inventory luau.
Oh, my gosh.
He's putting shit in the baler. He's running the baler and ruining things.
I can and I have.
Safety briefings.
Yeah, yep. We'll just talk about the safety briefings.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Give us the rundown on that.
Hit that one up.
Go.
So safety briefing or the episode where they go through and he talks about how they either have to do safety briefings once a year or after every incident, and they've never made it a whole year.
We've never once made it a whole year. This particular incident, one office worker who will remain unnamed.
Daryl was getting some stuff down to the top shelf, and a worker who will remain nameless decided to kick the ladder out from under me and then yelled,
"Hey, Daryl, hang us hanging."
Breaks his fucking leg.
Safety training.
So this
I'm seriously concerned for the safety of my workers,
which is one of, you know, many instances where somebody has been damaged or hurt or injured in the warehouse.
Oh yeah.
There's the workman's comp episode, obviously, where Daryl is going over the railing. They're using the scissor lift going
using
up
the lift instead of the
and
stairs.
And he breaks his leg and tries to claim that it was getting down boxes from a ladder.
Right.
He slipped and fell off the ladder.
Which kind of makes it's, you know, that's kind of smart on Daryl's point because it's happened before, obviously.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, he knew he could get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why would Toby and Dwight even believe him in the first place? Yeah. But Dwight in his Dwight fashion had to get to the bottom of it.
There you go.
Had to break this wide open.
Yeah.
But no, that's a lot led up to that. So I guess,
I mean,
you know,
at this point, we also know that Daryl is not above holding a grudge, though, too. Mm-hmm. If you think about in later episodes when Andy's investigating the fire of the Saber printers, and Daryl's trying to help him, he's like, and Daryl confidently says, "Andy's an idiot. He'll slip up eventually."
Yep.
He knows. He was waiting for it.
So he is vengeful.
He is vengeful enough that he would do this potentially.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's an established and there's also a portion too where Daryl goes through and tries to explain to Michael, we load however many pallets of it on Blue Cross every week. They buy a lot of paper.
They buy a lot.
Michael does the, "I'm gonna be honest with you. What is a pallet?"
What is a pallet?
So, okay. Make you uncomfortable that Michael doesn't know what a pallet is? Yeah. He's been running this branch for how long? 15 years.
He had no problem just like throwing them in just willy-nilly. Yeah. He came in, he had no thought about this. Again, it's just one more thing that Michael has zero concern or know-how about his job, and Daryl is his major concern is work and proficiency.
Yeah.
But he's also a vengeful person. I think it's very valid that he could have switched it around on purpose.
I mean, Daryl's done stuff that could have gotten Michael fired before already when he forwards the topless photo of Jan to everybody in the company.
So maybe that's a good counterpoint.
I'm a busy guy, Mike.
Yep.
Maybe Mike, that's a good counterpoint, though, guys. If Daryl wanted Michael fired, he could have probably had him fired already.
Yeah. Well,
so do you think he hit his breaking point at, you know, and this was his moment?
I will tell you that the management that has the power that be to fire Michael Scott has not done so. It's not because of Daryl's trying that he hasn't gotten fired. It's what's above Michael that he has not been fired.
Okay.
But
go back to the last point we made where he forwarded it on to like Todd Packer.
Right.
If Daryl would have typed up a very appropriately worded email sending it to the powers that be up at corporate, mm-hmm. Jan's photo is what I'm talking about.
Right.
He just said, this was inappropriate. I do not, you know, and filed sexual Fair. Harassment.
Yes.
He didn't do that. He forwarded it to Todd Packer because it's hilarious.
He forwarded it to everyone.
Minus Jan. Jan never saw it. Jan didn't see it till the deposition.
He picked and chose a bunch of people.
Oh, he did pick and choose. You're right.
Because Jan never saw it until the deposition episode.
Maybe he's just an opportunist. Maybe he's a guy who, you know, was presented with the opportunity and saw the chance to. He saw Michael running around in his fucking Willy Wonka velvet blazer and top hat. And
I think he did. I think it's very possible.
Said, what if these all ended up at Blue Cross?
Here's the thing, guys. Does this exist in the Scotch and Splenda universe office canon? It's time to vote.
Vote it up. Is it in? Is it a thing?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. BJ.
I'll say yes.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no.
I'm going to say no. I think, and this isn't like, because I love Daryl.
Okay.
I just don't think Daryl gives a shit. I just think he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have taken the time. He was probably eating chicken wings in his
Very
office.
Very valid.
And I just think he, I think no.
You don't think he stepped out of his way and his own workflow to mess with Michael?
No, I think Michael really did just put five tickets in the five boxes.
Side by side.
Close, you know, on different, you know, close pallets. And they were all pallets that were probably getting ready to be loaded on the truck anyway.
Okay.
And he threw them all in the same pallets and they threw them on the same truck and they all ended up at Blue Cross. I say no.
Okay. Okay, you're sending the tiebreaker to me, and as much as I honestly love this theory and the fact that I do believe that Daryl is vindictive enough, or at least holds enough of a grudge to want to mess with Michael, I don't think that it was Daryl's doing as to why they all ended up at Blue Cross, and that it was Michael's own doing. So I'm going to vote no.
All right.
Yes.
On this. And I don't believe this is canon in the Scotch and Splenda
just not
office universe. All right. Valid. Wonderful discussion, gentlemen. Thank you so much, Parker,
for giving us that amazing theory. It was a great theory.
To riff on. That was wonderful.
Yep. Maybe we'll circle back to it. Maybe we'll chew on it.
You never know. We could make it back around when we talk about Daryl a little bit more.
Yep.
Sit there and marinate on it a little bit. Please. While we're doing that, we can marinate on our wonderful beverages of the evening, which what are we drinking tonight? BJ, you have brought us a wonderful bottle.
We have a nice bottle tonight, boys. We are sipping on some Eagle Rare Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. So Eagle Rare is from Buffalo Trace. This is a 10-year-old Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Has a sweet kind of oaky nose, full complex body, and it is one of my favorites. It's delicious. So cheers, boys. Let's get into a
cheers.
Cheers.
Meat of this episode. All right.
I like the Eagle Rare while he's evaluating and taking another sip here. I really enjoy the Eagle Rare because it's a little bit higher rye content than something like the Buffalo Trace that we had last week. So it's got a little more spice. It's got a little more complexity to it versus your standard Buffalo Trace flagship offering,
that
which
burns.
Is pretty sweet, pretty easy drinking.
It doesn't burn. Okay,
this one's definitely got a little more going on.
It warms you up.
All right.
It's a cold December day, and we're here warming up.
Yeah. Lovely.
BJ, you would say
it's nice. Nice hot beverage on a cold December day.
Yeah.
Well, cheers, boys.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Warms you up inside out.
Well, I'd say it's definitely not bland, unlike Toby Flenderson, so we might as well mosey our way into that. God, you are so slow. just finally get to Mr. Toby Flenderson, who is our main topic for today, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're talking everything Toby, and there is no holds barred. Last week we talked about Michael Scott exclusively in season one,
strictly
the one dimensional, unlikable, heathen, racist, misogynist,
sexist.
terrible person that he was. And and then but this time we're going to give you the entire entirety of Toby Flenderson as best we can in what I suppose is a
part one.
I'm sure we'll revisit.
There's no way
we can cover all of the Toby that we want to cover in an hour.
For sure. So, well, where do we want to start here? Do you want to talk about kind of our first like our first impressions of actually who is Toby? Who is Toby?
That's good. Okay, yeah. Let's start with who is Toby.
Toby is
played by Paul Lieberstein. He is a writer for the show, eventually becomes the showrunner for the show after Greg leaves to do Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. Greg Daniels.
Yep, Greg Daniels. Paul Lieberstein is an amazing writer. I don't even know. We could look up how many episodes he has written for The Office start to finish. But he wasn't really even supposed to be, you know, an actor on the show.
Like a character, right? He was an actor. Right?
Yeah. He was asked to play this role by Greg, you know, during table reads. And so he kind of got thrown into it and frankly just killed the role of Toby. And he got the role off just reading lines.
Yeah, absolutely. Just not even... He didn't want anything to do with it. And it's...
He never had an acting role.
No. Yeah, he never had an acting role.
And he could make Steve Carell break more than any other character.
Seriously.
Yes. And there are some bloopers out there where you can hear a true Steve Carell cackle at some of the stuff that Paul Lieberstein would do in scenes. Like he handed him a book in a scene and Michael's supposed to be mad at him. And Paul Lieberstein wrote on a sticky note on the book. So when Michael opened it, it just said, "Fuck you, Steve." And so and Steve Carell just broke like no one has broke before, you know? And so his comic genius is amazing, which is why, you know how people say like, you know, someone is a good actor if they're in a role where they're playing a bad guy and you hate that guy.
Yeah.
That means they're a good actor because they're doing a good job. And that is exactly what Paul is. He's a fantastic 100%. At what he does as Toby. Now let's get into the meat of the episode because fuck Toby. Am I right?
Because fuck. Well, I don't know if we're all going to agree with you on this.
Okay.
So I will tell you this. Like, I'll give you a little bit of an impression that I get from Toby. I'll go very general here. Toby to me. As we've heard, he's like, "Do I have a passion for HR?" He expresses this at one point or another that he says, "Do I have a passion for HR?" He's like, "I mean, he was practicing to be a priest,
seminary,
a monk, seminary, yeah." And then he kind of
have sex with this girl,
Kathy.
Yeah.
And went to have sex with the girl Kathy. Followed her back to Scranton, got the first job in HR he could. Later, she divorced me.
Also,
so no, I don't think I have a passion for HR.
Continuity error, heads up.
Yeah.
In season one, Hot Girl, him and the Hot Girl.
Yeah.
They are bonding over the fact that they went to the same high school.
Oh.
Bishop O'Hara.
Yep.
And so that
Big
whole.
Slop, who cares?
Yeah. Piss slop, who cares?
That's what
Ryan
calls it.
Yeah. Piss slop, who cares?
So
continuity error there. Sorry to interrupt. I was going to get brought up, but.
Yeah. So
the origin of Toby, let's talk about it. He had to have grown up in Scranton.
I would say maybe he moved away to the seminary. Then he came back to Scranton.
Okay.
Followed her back to Scranton. And then
they never got together. Explicitly say either that this Bishop O'Hara was like in Scranton High School.
That's fair.
Well, it was in the air. Like, I mean, because like it was close enough that like their high school football teams played.
Sure,
implied.
Yeah,
but yeah, I just mean like maybe it could have been a close nearby city, and then like he went off to a state college.
See, where I was gonna go with it is that Toby is a liar.
Oh,
about his seminary thing.
Oh my
thing.
Goodness!
Hey,
he is a liar.
That maybe he was. That was what he wore for Halloween one year because he's so fucking boring.
So that all being said, I guess what I was gonna say is he doesn't have a passion for HR. I will propose this to you guys. Toby, as we've actually found out, the most likable person in The Office, probably, and one of the most interesting and fun guys, however, is constantly shoved to the back and back to the annex by Michael.
Did you just say he's one of the most interesting?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. My God,
I will tell you why.
In the minority on this episode.
I will tell you why.
Listen to him tell the Scranton Strangler stories over and over and over again.
Okay. The man is a prolific author of good murder mysteries.
Oh, okay.
We haven't gotten to his character arc. Give me time. Let's talk season one, maybe two into like five, right? So Toby is actually, he loves to travel. Yes, he did get divorced and everything. Jim actually makes mention of, he actually used to hang out with Toby all the time, and then he got moved back to the annex, and then he didn't really see Toby much anymore. He introduces Jim to Dunderball. He does have a fun side. He wants to move to Costa Rica. He was planning on just moving out when the Scranton branch was going to be downsized.
Yep.
That we found out. I mean, so really the only person who has a vendetta against him really is Michael.
I will say one of my favorite running gags in the show is that anybody who is the manager at any point has animosity for Toby during their time as the manager.
Okay, continue.
So yeah. You've got like Michael hates Toby.
Yeah.
Yep. Hates Toby with a good reason. Fiery passion. Right? We'll Andy, later a manager, does not like Toby. Bitches about Toby. Jim, in an episode where he is an acting manager while Michael is out, he's trying to put together the birthday party.
The collective birthday parties.
And he goes, Toby is just, sometimes he's just a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see the big problem with that. Well, it's a cake, Toby, so come on.
So that's one of my favorite running gags is that everybody who's a manager at some point hates Toby for something or rather, which is always very funny.
But when does management ever love
like
HR?
They don't.
I think maybe that's kind of the add-on.
I think in the real world, you need to love your HR and you need to be on the same team. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Got a lot of head shaking over at Nick Morrell as well.
Yes, it's they are your checks and balance, okay? And you need to have a good communication with them, and you don't need to be friends with these people because I am not friends with my HR manager, but we have a check and balance relationship, and that's how it should be.
Okay.
But here's my thing. There was no checks and balance relationship between the two because Toby sucked at his job.
Toby's terrible at his job.
He's awful at his job. He is the worst HR manager I've ever seen, and I have a theory.
We're going to get into this.
I have a lot of theories about Toby, but my very first theory is that Toby purposefully never got Michael in trouble for any of the shit that Michael did because if he had a real boss come in, they would realize how fucking bad he was at his job.
Wow.
That's fair. He does have.
Sorry, I got a little wound up there. You know,
shots fired.
So you think back on Toby as an HR rep.
Right.
Think back on the episode with the complaints, right?
Yeah.
And he's got the special file at corporate for all of Dwight's shit. But he doesn't really.
No.
What he's got is an end of the episode outro a la Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he is just putting this box of complaints on a fucking shelf full of thousands of boxes of complaints.
That's him being terrible at his job.
That's a bad HR rep.
Because guess what?
I'm arguing with you that
some of the stuff that
HR
Jim
rep.
Did to Dwight, like Jim should have been written up
very
for,
fair.
Talked to about, and it should have come to an end. I mean, there are some pranks that, I mean, we'll get into a prank. We'll do a prank episode, but we need to like talk just about like there was no HR support to any of the employees, including Michael.
Building a case and I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead this path until we kind of get to it. And I don't know when it's going to happen, guys, but my major theory for The Office will be coming sooner or later whenever we get to it. And this is going to be a slight nod to it. Okay. Now I want you to think about one thing here. Okay. Well, a couple things. HR in Dunder Mifflin. Right. We have Toby, who is working at what is essentially the idea of a failing branch in this paper company that's more than likely going to be downsized, who's supposed to be, as you guys say, filing complaints away for these people that who gives a shit at this point in a corporate standpoint. We do find out later on that when think about when the corporate job comes up.
Yeah.
And David Wallace says very, very quickly to Jim as he's spacing out, I think you're going to love it here. The only person you're really not going to get along with is Kendall, our HR guy. It's like, and we actually, we meet Kendall later on.
Who's and the dullest person
the
ever.
The dullest person. Duller than Toby, even.
Oh, yeah.
We also have another reference here, who, when Holly makes a call on the idea of Meredith, who's made this offense.
Prostituting herself for Outback Steakhouse. Yes.
For gift cards and free steak. You ever had sirloin steak, honey? We're getting deep here, guys. I hope you guys are still following along here. We're getting a little deep on this. Another reference is that when she's on the phone with Kendall, Kendall literally says, Holly, I thought this was very clear. We just needed the signatures. Every other branch has been able to do this. Why are you having trouble with this? They want to check their boxes and they want to be done with the HR.
You got it.
So I think that Toby Flenderson has this job in HR that has no longer been represented as anything important for the branch, and that he has simply been sitting at his desk hoping to God that he can just sit there and do what he needs to do until he can leave for Costa Rica. Boom.
Counterpoint.
Everything you just said was great. You have 2 minutes. Your time starts now.
You brought up a great point that I was going to bring up myself in a very different light.
Okay.
And that is Holly.
Holly
starts, right? And so at this point, they're not going to be downsized, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because the merge has already happened. They're running. Point. They're making profits. Yeah. Okay. So Holly starts. So right away, obviously, Michael does not like Holly because he has bad taste in his mouth for HR because of Toby.
Okay.
Holly comes in. First of all, has a sense of humor. Yeah. Can dig at Toby. Immediately, they make a bond. And then who hates Holly in the first episode that she's there?
Michael. Everyone. I mean, I guess.
Pretty much everyone. Okay. But who really
can lead them?
But who really hates Michael? Meredith and Creed.
Okay.
Hates Michael?
Hates Holly.
Sorry.
Because Holly asks Creed, I can't wait to sit down with you and talk about what do you do here?
Yeah.
And what does Creed do?
She's asking questions that nobody should know the answer to.
Right. She is going to get to the bottom of it.
Quabity Ashwitz. No, that's not it. But I'm close.
Yes. So a worthless waste of the hourly dollar that is Creed. Don't get me wrong. We all love Creed.
I mean,
but the dude does not earn his keep. No. Okay. Like
spends all day sprouting mung beans.
Yeah.
Pay for talent.
And immediately, you know, Ollie just asks a very simple question: what do you do here? He can't even respond to it because he does less than nothing. He lives under his desk.
Yeah.
Okay. And then immediately hates her. Right? Meredith immediately hates her because the same thing. And then it goes back to the future episode where she finds out that Meredith is sleeping around with supplier discounts. It's like Holly was a good HR manager.
Right.
Who loved Holly more than anyone else on the show?
Michael.
Michael! Yeah. Michael loved the good HR manager and hated the bad.
This is
weird.
Not an argument of whether or not Toby was a shitty HR rep. I think it's established Toby's a shitty HR rep. As a company, they have a terrible culture regarding HR. The argument is whether or not Toby is a good character. I enjoy Toby as a character.
Well, I wouldn't want him to leave. I love Toby, but he's just like, no, fuck Toby.
Okay. I'm gonna get us off of this
BJ,
really fast.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Now you don't have to disclose the company, but are you by chance a manager in a company?
I am a manager in a company.
He has an animosity towards HR.
Interesting.
No, I am disagreeing with it. I think he's terrible. I would have fired him.
Okay. Like,
he would have been gone, and I would have hired a good HR manager. I would have hired Holly. I would have fallen in love with Holly. She's weird, but I would have hired. As a manager, I would rather have a good HR manager. But I am not Michael.
Speaking of falling in love and la la la. A little bit of a transition here for us, okay, to get us off of this heated debate. There's always been a point that Pam has always kind of found Toby actually kind of attractive.
She's always had a little bit of a crush.
She's had a little bit of a crush on him. We find that out a little bit later on.
In Goodbye Toby.
In Goodbye Toby. Right? But even before that, on the fire drill, when the fire alarm goes off, she actually, she even mentions, she said, and they're like trying to play the whole, who would you do?
Yeah.
And the girls are kind of off doing their own little thing. And Pam says, well, Toby's kind of cute. And some of them shake their head. Phyllis is like, no. But
yeah,
she finds him kind of attractive. And again, what? So my big thing is, what if Toby had nutted up and asked Pam out when she was available? What if?
Then I think they would have gone on dates.
You think they would have gone on a date?
They might even have gotten married. But guess what? It would have ended in divorce.
which leads us to one of the better jokes in the series, and maybe the meanest joke in the entire series.
Okay.
Which is where Michael is doing introductions, and he says that...
Oh, God.
No. We're all one big family here. Well, except Toby, because he's HR, so he's corporate, so he's not really part of our family. And in fact, he's recently divorced, so he's not even part of his own family. Which is just... fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord.
There are some zingers, man.
Michael, okay. I mean, and I hate that you're putting me in a position to defend Toby because it's not what I'm here to do.
Here we are, babe.
But Michael does go way over the top with Toby on some of the comments he makes. Like, what is the thing he says where he's just like, as I was saying that, I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
What does he say to him in the conference room? Do you remember?
Show us your penis.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
What's going on here, guys?
How do we know it wasn't you? I was at my daughter's recital. It's like, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Prove it. Show us your penis.
God damn it.
Is Toby convicted rapist?
Oh, God.
That's not true.
No, that's not true.
I'll be honest with you. Just since we're on the Michael to Toby hate train, if you do have Peacock, go and watch the super fan episodes, which we all are. And if you're listening, hopefully you've already watched them. There is a moment where when Michael is going with Daryl and Toby to corporate to ask for a raise from Jan in the truck. After Daryl says, oh, I got a cousin in New York. He's like, maybe I'll stay up there with him. And Toby says, well, how are we going to get home? He's like, oh, you guys can stay too. He's like, he's got a big place. Michael says, maybe I'll stay too. He's like, it's not that big. But shortly after, he's like, yeah, you can take the bus home. And Michael says,
quick.
What's that?
Get you back quick.
Yeah. Michael says to Toby, he's like, he says, maybe you could get yourself a hooker, find yourself a hooker, forget about your divorce for an hour.
Oh my God almighty.
And just lit. And Toby stands up for himself very briefly. And he says, hey, you can't talk to me that way. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have yelled. And he quickly backs off. And Michael is just, he just lit him up in the worst possible way. Toby is a pushover. He is, oh, yeah, he does 100%. Roll over. He is so non-confrontational. I totally get it. I understand why people hate Toby. Okay.
I just think he's a bad person. Like, I don't think he's a good
person. You think
he's
a bad person?
Okay. All right. Exhibit A.
Hit me.
Season 9, episode 19. Okay. Jim and Pam are going through their hard times and Pam starts to doubt their relationship. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they seek the comfort and refuge of help. And that's like Nellie and Toby, right?
Yeah.
And after counseling sessions, we see Nellie and Toby in the break area talking shit about Pam and Jim. That's pretty shitty. Okay. Like,
he is hoping that they break up.
I know. He's actively hoping that they break
up. He's always rooting against them, to be honest.
He's rooting against
because
Jim.
Because he wants Pam.
He
wants,
yeah,
Pam.
He's rooting against Jim. And I guess it's a
little. Is there anything wrong with that?
I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it's the same way Jim was rooting against Roy. You know,
like, that's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe. But I just.
So again,
okay.
What if Pam and Toby got together?
They'd be divorced. Like right now in 2021, they'd be divorced.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You don't think it would have lasted. I guess. I think Costa Rica could have saved it for him, but that's fine. I get it.
I have one question for you, AJ.
All right.
If you were in a room with a gun and two bullets, and you were with Hitler and Bin Laden and Toby, who would you kill?
I'd shoot Toby
twice.
Also one of the meaner jokes.
Also a really rough joke. I like how this episode mostly turned into the harshest jokes from Michael to Toby.
Yeah. Well, so like, okay, so like season 1, right off the bat, you get you get sort of introduced to like the animosity surrounding Michael and Toby, right? And it's, I think it's Diversity Day, where he goes to come in and makes some stupid joke and Michael tells him to get out.
Yeah.
And he's like as he's walking in, and then he tries to laugh it off and he's like, no, I'm serious. Get out. Kicks Toby out of the meeting.
Yeah.
One of the better jokes, I think, with Toby is, and I couldn't tell you the episode off the top of my head. Somebody on Twitter or Facebook or whatever will have to name it, but it's where Toby makes some crack and Michael pauses for a second and you see him in the periphery of the camera start to get up and walk out, and Michael turns and goes, get out.
Get out.
And Toby goes, I know. He's already on his way out.
Great long joke. Great long play on that.
No, the what's the one where he's the devil, everything the devil says is the opposite. Okay, well, fine. You can talk about your religions. Thank you for your permission.
So, okay.
He actively calls Toby the Antichrist.
The Antichrist.
The thing, here's, I have to take this back because I got to take it back around because Michael actively excludes Toby from the office.
From everything.
Okay, but
beach day?
Okay, but Toby also actively excludes himself from the office, I feel.
Because he hasn't felt welcome because of Michael's hostility, BJ.
Yes.
How dare you?
Well, yes. He's not trying. He's lazy and he's dumb and he's not good at his job.
I will not sit here and listen to this bullshit slander.
All right, hold on. I have a question. Do you think that Toby and Kelly fucked?
Oh, God. No.
Oh, you're talking. You want to. Wait.
I don't know.
We're jumping here.
Wow, this is a big jump, friend.
We already discussed. Is this going to be an every episode thing? We talked about Toby definitely fucking Meredith at a low point.
Yeah, but that was during his divorce and all this. I think post divorce and like he's trying to get back out there.
Is Toby just the female Meredith of the office?
Now, hear me out. Remember how Toby used to sit in that desk right by Kelly where Jim had to go when Michael borrowed his desk in the episode where he had the big stinky thing in his office.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kelly says,
Todd Backer shit on his floor.
Todd Backer shit.
Yeah. and Kelly said,
don't try to church it up there, BJ. Yeah, let's call it.
Todd Backer put a shit on his floor.
Fantastic.
Anyway. anyway.
Great.
I think the real reason that Toby moved desks was because that they hooked up and she was trying to Ryan him and he had to get away from her.
That's a good point.
Just that separator was enough. And on top of that, she was obviously probably super annoying. Talking his ear off.
Yeah.
But I think it stemmed from something a little more. I think maybe he broke and they went out and I think they hooked up, guys. Calling it.
Do you think that they hooked up?
I think they hooked up.
I don't think they.
I disagree.
I don't think. I don't.
I think that there are a few lines that Toby would be willing to cross ethically from that standpoint, right?
Can we get some emails or some tweets at us on if you think Toby and Kelly hooked up ever?
Did Toby and Kelly hook up?
It would have been pre-season one.
Scotch Splenda on damn near everything.
Damn near everything.
Because I want to hear your thoughts out there, guys, okay? And I'll tell you what, if you send us a tweet, an Instagram, a TikTok response, or anything, anyway, an email, I will read it out loud.
There you go.
And I will.
Right on the show.
And then that's how we'll vote if this is real.
Fair enough. That'll be the vote for this question that you have, that you want to involve this. You want to involve this in the Scotch and Splenda office canon ethos.
Yep.
All right. Fair enough.
Did Toby smash Kelly?
Did Toby smash Kelly?
Okay.
Did Kelly smash Toby?
Did Kelly smash Toby?
If there was smashing that occurred, Kelly was definitely in charge. Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Kelly's top.
Yeah. Stop. Yeah.
Imagine.
We're going to have to scrap this whole fucking episode.
All right. Well, so, okay. Let's, I'm going to push this on just a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, please. Because keep us on track, babe.
Because we do have to talk about, like you brought up earlier, we do have to talk about some of the character arc that happened with Toby and what happened in the later seasons. Toby goes through where he is kind of a little bit pathetic, I get you. And then he kind of has this redemption. He runs his 5Ks and like
yeah.
does this, you know.
At one point he mentions he has volleyball practice.
Volleyball practice. He's athletic and whatnot. You know, like I say, he's an interesting guy. He's got a lot going on outside the office, okay? Yep. The office is not his world, unlike boring-ass people like Pam and Jim and Dwight and Andy.
Dwight is called Dwight
boring?
Okay.
I think he might have a different episode. Yeah, he's got... All right, we're not going to go there today.
It's a different episode. But
just take that one back.
Here's the thing. But we do, unfortunately, see this... Honestly, I think terrible character arc that turns Toby into a very nerdy, kind of borderline pathetic, obsessive with this Scranton Strangler jury duty.
Yeah.
And I do. Unfortunately, I think it turned him into a very, very boring, like throwaway character later on in the series.
I'm hearing you.
I'm letting this ride.
I think from season one he was boring and throwaway, but he had his place in the office world for sure. I mean,
So then if you are think he was already boring, did he become more interesting because of the Scranton Strangler jury duty?
I think yes, I think that's proven because he finally has a story that people kind of want to hear about and people get excited for a minute and then they get sick of it, but he can't let it go because he finally found something that like, you know, once people hear me talk, maybe they'll find me interesting. And
I think at the end of the day,
okay,
Toby, objectively, if you were to look at the facts about Toby,
yeah,
as a third party, is an interesting individual. The man is, he writes
crime
drama
novels. Yeah.
Right? He moved and lived in Costa Rica, broke his back zip lining,
mm-hmm.
which is an exciting story. He served on the most prolific murder trial on the Eastern Seaboard for however long.
There you go.
Until Bob Vance found out about.
Was the sole juror that objected to sending him to prison and then goes on a mission to try and prove his innocence later on. I think that Toby's an interesting individual.
I agree with you. And I'm going to throw one more thing at you unless you have something to interject on that note with, Ben.
Oh, I got Ben.
You got Ben.
That's when I'm in trouble.
BJ.
Yikes.
Okay. No, I don't. I hope this is a segue into talking about maybe Toby's this Grand Strangler. I hope that's kind of where you're going with it.
We can top out with that, but I
think that's going to be, it's like the one of the most common fan theories out there. And as a podcast talking about fan theories, we can't not talk about it.
We'll definitely end up probably doing a whole episode or two if I had to guess on Scranton Strangler theories.
Okay. I'm going to blow your guys' mind right now for a reason.
Blow it.
You ready for this? Michael hates Toby because he's jealous of everything that he does.
Elaborate.
More.
Toby is an athletic individual.
It's true.
Michael runs a 7-minute mile. That's pretty good.
7-minute mile.
Lost a ton of weight. Lost a lot of weight later seasons.
He looks great, doesn't he? Michael, after season one, lost a lot of weight. Toby writes crime drama. Michael tried to write Threat Level Midnight. Trying to do this
screenplay.
Okay. Yes. He was married at one point. Michael can't let it go that he's been divorced, that he was unsuccessful in this reason. He has a child. He falls in love with Toby's little girl.
Damn it.
Right.
You're making good points.
I can keep going. Okay.
What's his daughter's name? Sasha.
Sasha.
That's right.
Does she have a godfather?
There you go. So, throughout the seasons, we actually find out that Michael, honestly, I truly believe Toby is everything that Michael is not and everything that Michael wants to be.
He wants to be a divorced dad?
No, secretly, he wants to be a dad, period.
A dad, period. And don't you come in here and poke holes
you're upset.
Okay. So, the other big thing is, again, secretly, although it's not really known to either of them, Pam actually finds Toby kind of cute, and Michael would love nothing more than to be attractive in Pam's eyes.
Accurate. Yeah. Tries to kiss Pam at Diwali.
There you go. I'm telling you, man, Toby
told
is...
Jan that they dated.
Yeah.
In dinner party.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
That's a good point.
I think the reason behind the hate of Toby from Michael is specifically because he is everything that he is not just and everything he jealousy. Wants to
if you
be,
started this whole so long jealous. Conversation with just one simple fact that Pam is attracted to Toby for some reason yeah. and Michael is jealous and hates him because of that, then I would have said, damn, sir, I agree.
And he put
okay?
Toby.
I would have agreed to that 100%.
He put Toby in the farthest reach from reception that could possibly be in the office. Boom.
But he also put Kelly down there, too.
Well,
but
that's he just, also just...
Kelly, okay.
Kelly was
Kelly
there.
Kelly sucks, too.
Again, a whole nother episode. So... there it is, guys. I'm just saying, like, I think that's the whole reason behind the Michael hate of Toby.
I think that, obviously, that's a good theory.
Can I, no rebuttal. Can I ask for a vote on this?
No.
Oh, no? Okay.
Yeah, you can. We're allowed to vote.
I'm in on that.
You're in on that?
Yeah. Yes, I think that's part of it.
I'm a sucker for conspiracy theories or fan theories that make sense. I'll be your easy one to please from here on out for sure.
Yeah. I just think that I go back to my original statement that I think that Michael does not like Toby because Toby's the fun squash because he has to be because he's HR, but he's HR. Just really, really bad at being an HR manager.
Yeah. But Michael's also really, really bad at just being a person and manager in general. So.
Jim's not always a great salesperson. Yeah. You know, kind of sucks in reception.
That's
sometimes.
Fucking weird. Yeah. Sometimes Creed, you let it go to voicemail.
Creed doesn't know what his fucking job is. So I think as a whole, it's incredible that this office managed to stay afloat, period.
Yeah. Well,
it only did because Stanford lost Josh.
That is true.
That'd be fun.
I think we all agree on that theory. We talked about it on episode 100%. 1 already.
What if Josh stayed?
If Josh stayed, then Scranton would have closed. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to share like a favorite Toby moment?
How about a favorite Toby moment? I like that.
Sure.
We've been kind of finished up on Michael that way last episode, right?
Yeah. I think we've all sort of established our cringy Toby moments for the most part.
Right.
With the exception of the obvious him with the hand on Pam's knee.
The hand on the knee.
When they all get locked. That
that's
got to
be
so
one of your biggest
rough.
Cringe Toby
was,
moments, right?
Was
for
quite,
everybody.
It was quite the lingering moment with the finger stroke that added to that.
The shot of
burned
Jim
in.
Just like turning head 45 degrees and snapping eyes down on the knee is pretty good. As everybody realizes what's going on, and then Toby's like, you know, I think I'm gonna hop the fence and just jog home.
Yeah.
And then it's your clear stunt double with like the sort of bald wig on.
Yeah.
Just hops over that shit.
I think mine is honestly when he tries to kiss himself, aka Nelly
dresses
as Toby,
him, yeah.
is maybe the most cringeworthy moment for me for Toby, man.
Whips off the glasses.
Oh, it's bad. He tries to play whatever character he's writing in his crime novel, and it's weirder because he's trying to essentially kiss himself.
Yeah.
So that's my moment, guys.
Okay, mine is the casino night episode when when Michael has all these crazy fun ideas because Michael's fun, unlike Toby.
Yeah.
And Toby has to shut him down because for once he did his job.
It's like, so he says, yeah, he's like, well,
can you do the list?
Yeah.
I didn't think that it would be appropriate to have Boy Scouts in there because it's a school night and it's a dangerous warehouse and Hooters is catering and we're gambling and
alcohol
is being served. Is that enough?
Should I keep going?
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things you choose to be.
The greatest line ever uttered.
That I hate so much about the things
you
choose
to
be.
I say that all the time in my work and professional life. Why are you the way that you are? Like, I don't go on to say the rest, but that one sticks every day in my life. Why are you the way that you are? Why are we doing this?
I can't agree with you more. I will follow you up with a favorite moment of Toby in the fact that when he calls Michael's bluff, so obviously.
Yes, that's my favorite Toby moment in Casino Night.
Go ahead then.
Yeah,
I'll let you.
Just where. It's the very first hand of this poker tournament.
I have a good hand.
Michael glances at his cards and pushes his chips all in.
All in.
And Toby looks at his cards for a second and goes, yeah, I'll call. And Michael goes, are you insane?
I went all in on the first hand, Toby.
Like, it's supposed to be obvious you don't do this.
Don't you think that maybe I have some pretty good cards? He goes, I have good cards. Michael loses the hand, throws his fucking cards down. He's like, you just ruined that, didn't you? And then
he
Toby
says in a talking head.
Yeah, and then Toby goes on in a talking head interview and says, it felt pretty good taking money from Michael. I'm going to chase that feeling.
Maybe there again is the whole setup as to why Toby is just the worst to Michael.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he just wants to make his days not worthwhile.
Yeah, I'm going to chase that feeling.
Yep.
I'm going to chase that feeling.
If luck had nothing to do with it, I'd win every time.
Two queens at casino night. I'm going to drop a deuce on everybody.
I don't want to get the weeds on casino night. I love that episode.
Wonderful episode.
Codename Remax is here. Yes.
We can't. There's not enough time.
Lance Jevonson.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I think that's going to be all for Scotch and Splenda tonight there, fellas.
Yep.
Yes,
I think
sir.
That's all we can. Here
DJ,
we are.
Have we convinced you by the end of this episode? Do you see Toby as a more complex character that maybe was not so shitty as you previously believed?
No, Toby's a piece of shit.
God damn it, BJ.
Okay. Got heated there in that episode. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. So.
No. He has some good. I mean, I would not trade him for the world. And I definitely wouldn't trade Paul Lieberstein. Paul Lieberstein.
I think that's a great place to end this episode. Make sure if you are continuing to listen to the podcast that you are still rating and reviewing us on whatever podcast platform that you're listening on. You got that 5 stars, smash that 5 stars. Make sure you're writing a review. And while you write your review, make sure you are leaving us your fan theory, guys.
So next week, we're going to be talking all about our guest stars, our favorites, our least favorites, things that we loved, things that we hated. People who played the role so well that we hated them for doing it.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be having a good old time.
Yes.
Hey-o.
Awesome.
And at the end, we're going to ask for your opinion.
Most definitely.
Which you'll be able to shout out at us on social media, which you're going to find where, AJ?
Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. It's at Scotch Splenda. That's just at Scotch Splenda. No and, no ampersand, at Scotch Splenda. And if you'd rather email us for your fan theories, make sure you shoot it on over to scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com. All spelled out, scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to follow us on any social media platforms, you can find me, BJ, at I Am The Beej. That's Beej, B-E-E-J, on Instagram and TikTok. Nick, where can we find you?
Yeah,
you can find me just about everywhere at Nick Morella. That's N-I-C-K-M-E-R-U-L-L-A. You'll find that on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. On Instagram, you can find me at Morella Nick, M-E-R-U-L-L-A-N-I-C-K, because that bastard Nick Morella in New Jersey who follows me on Twitter took that one.
And you can find me just about anywhere on social media, guys. A-J-A-Y-V-E-N-S. It's AJ Venz. Anywhere on social media, just plug it in and find me.
Cool.
All right, guys. Well, thank you guys so much again for joining us for Scotch and Splenda. I guess until next time, we'll catch you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
Bye.